All right. The subject of spiritual gifts, and this will probably take us into at least two more Wednesday nights after tonight. So I'm going to give you a little bit of introductory material tonight, and then we'll look at one of the categories, the very first category that's on your sheet of paper there. There are numerous things in Scripture that are called gifts, okay? These are gifts from God. They are certainly spiritual because they are indeed gifts from God, okay? There's the gift of Jesus Christ. God gave his son to the world to offer him as king and ultimately the payment of sin. There's the gift of salvation. This is God offering to mankind a rescue from the penalty of sin. And there's the gift of eternal life. There's the gift of good and perfect blessings. There's the gift of the Holy Spirit. But tonight we're going to focus on the gift of divine enabling, these spiritual gifts. That, in fact, that's what the Bible calls them, is spiritual gifts. And if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to give you a couple points here in the introduction here in just a minute. So it won't follow your handout exactly, but a number of the points I give you can be found on the handout. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And right off the bat here, we learn something. And what exactly is Paul telling us in that line? Jeff?
Obviously, there must be some confusion, and he's trying to clarify.
All right. There's some confusion going on. He's certainly going to clarify it. So what is the word that he uses there for confusion, so to speak?
Ignorant.
Okay. The bottom line being is this topic of spiritual gifts is something that we should be educated on. God doesn't want us to be ignorant of these spiritual gifts that he has given us. We need to know about them. Keep a marker here in 1 Corinthians 12 and go to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And while this isn't one of the main passages about spiritual gifts, the Apostle Peter does talk about them briefly here, and he says this. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So from this verse, what are some things that we learn about spiritual gifts? What are some facts or truths that we're told here?
Sure.
What's that, Jim?
Share them.
Okay, share them, use them. What else?
Each one has received.
Okay, all right. Each one has received a gift. All right, and those are the two main things that I wanted you to see here is that we have been given a gift. Every believer has, and we've been given that gift to use it. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, you have at least one spiritual gift. Perhaps more than one, but our verse very plainly says that each believer has received at least one gift, and then each one must use their gift. We're given the gift to use it in the lives of other people. And we, as good stewards, have the responsibility to do so, really to not only discover what our gift is, but to use it, because that's why God gave it to us. Janine praise the Lord, loves to buy me tools as gifts.
Amen.
Yeah, amen, absolutely. But she doesn't buy them so they look really good on the pegboard over my workbench, okay? She gets them so that I'll use them, so that I'll fix stuff around the house. And actually, I like doing that. So it is, again, praise the Lord. But my point being is, she gets me these things so that I will use them. And so it is right here, okay? That is why believers are given them. All right, so here's four points in my introduction here, just to go through. Some of these are going to follow your outline a little bit. Some won't, all right? But here's the first thing. First thing I want us to know, and that is what a spiritual gift is. And I do have this on the outline. A spiritual gift is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. Okay, it's a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. I have often called them superpowers. They are the superpowers of a Christian because they are way beyond anything I could ever do in my own power. And they are done as I yield to the Spirit of God. They are done in His power. So they are actually supernatural. They're superpowers. There are great encouraging people in the world. But when one is gifted by the Holy Spirit to encourage other believers, there will be supernatural effects. Supernatural effects will take place. For instance, while you and I were all called to do the work of an evangelist, there are those that are supernaturally enabled in communicating the gospel. I've known numerous people like that. So a spiritual gift is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. Secondly, spiritual gifts are different than talents. And I think I've actually got that on your handout down toward the bottom there. Spiritual gifts are different than talents. And here's a few reasons why, and I've got these listed on the handout. Number one, only believers have spiritual gifts. Anyone can have a talent. Only believers have spiritual gifts. Anyone can have a talent. Secondly, spiritual gifts come from God. Talents, while yes, from God, they are acquired naturally. All right? Everything is from God, right? Okay, talents as well. But spiritual gifts come from God. Talents are acquired naturally. I could be terrible at baseball, but if I hone my skill, it could become a talent of mine just through natural practice and such. And then thirdly, there are a limited number of spiritual gifts, probably more than what is listed in Scripture, but talents are innumerable, thousands, okay? So those are some differences, and we're going to be looking at a list of spiritual gifts from the Bible as we progress in this study, because a spiritual gift is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity, and they are different from talents. But I want you to know that sometimes the Lord couples them together. He uses them for the same purpose. I have heard people that even before they trusted Christ had a beautiful singing voice. They had a natural talent that I will never have, okay? They could touch people with their singing and their use of music. But only upon trusting in Christ did God enable them to spiritually minister to others through their singing. It's usually coupling their talent with a gift, like encouragement or teaching, all right? God was able to couple their natural talent with a spiritual gift and produce a supernatural result. One with the talent of a voice may supernaturally be able to encourage other believers. Or maybe they have the talent of songwriting, and as soon as they incorporate God's word, all of a sudden it contains supernatural power. Or maybe they can even teach through their singing. Sometimes though, one's gifting is entirely different than their natural talent. I have known believers that could teach before they trusted Christ for salvation. However, it became clear that upon trusting Christ, they were not spiritually gifted to teach God's word. Okay? They could teach a self-defense class fantastically. But when it came to teaching God's word, it was evident that they were not gifted in that area. So sometimes talents are coupled with the gifts. Sometimes they are not. All right. So spiritual gifts are different from talents. Thirdly, spiritual gifts obviously are given by God. Spiritual gifts are given by God. Turn back to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read verses 4 through 6. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities in activities, but the same God who works all in all. Now, according to these verses, from whom are these spiritual gifts? The Holy Spirit. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences in ministries, but the same Lord.
It's God.
Yeah. And quite frankly, all three persons of the Godhead have a hand, so to speak, in the distribution of spiritual gifts. Since we're here, do all have the same gift? No. All right. There are diversities. Do all use their gift in the same activity? No. Okay. Right. There are differences. There may be two people who have the same gift of, let's say, helps. One may be a help in doing jobs and fixing things around the church building. Another may be a help in the area of food service or sewing. We have our quilting ministry. Okay. Same gifting, but with the differences in diversities and ministries and activities. Let me read verses 8 through 11 now. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So really, while God is mentioned in those earlier verses, we see the Spirit, the Lord, and God. We see clearly here that the key person in the distribution and empowering of these spiritual gifts is the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that's why it has these gifts have the name that it has, spiritual gifts. So verse 7 again. Oh, we missed that one earlier. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Who has a spiritual gift? Each one, each believer. What are the spiritual gifts for? The prophet of all. The prophet of all. So do some of the your translations have sharing at the end of verse 7? Or is it all prophet?
Common good.
Common good. Okay. All right. So yeah, sharing would certainly qualify. All right. Spiritual gift is a divine enabling to excel at a spiritual activity. Spiritual gifts are different than talents. Spiritual gifts are given by God. And then lastly, the fourth point in introduction here, spiritual gifts are given for the profit of all. Every believer is equipped and enabled with at least one gift that is designed to be used for the profit of others. In particular, the church body. We as God's children, we've been given these so that we can use them, so that we can serve one another. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about every part of the body of Christ doing its share, all right? That's why we've been given these superpowers, so that we could do our share. All right, so what are the gifts of God listed for us in Scripture? Well, there are three main passages, and I think I've got this on your outline as well. This outline has actually been a work in progress. I did a class on this several years ago. I did a class on this up at Frontier School of the Bible. So it's something that I've actually been working on for quite some time. I don't know why I'm telling you that. Just in case if you find a mistake, let me know and fix it. All right. But there are three main passages that describe these gifts. One's in Romans chapter 12, one is in Ephesians chapter 4, and then there's one right here, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to break them down into four main categories. They're listed on your handout. And we're going to start with the gifts of authentication. The gifts of authentication. And these are spiritual gifts given to some believers for evidence of God's new revelation. All right? These gifts of authentication, they're given to some believers for evidence of God's new revelation. These were specific to the beginning of the church and the New Testament. Numerous places in Scripture it is noted that these gifts are for a sign. They're for a sign. They are signs that accompany the new revelation that God is giving to man, really in order to authenticate the message that is being delivered. As God revealed the New Testament to man, He enabled men and women with these sign gifts to authenticate that the message they were bringing was indeed from God. Basically, here is a new message from God, and here is the proof that this is from God. Now, before we actually look at these gifts, I'm going to give you just a little bit of preliminary information concerning these gifts of authentication. We noted that a spiritual gift is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. Well, a sign gift is a spiritual gift, but the activity, okay, is the authenticating of new revelation. I'm repeating this a lot because I want you to understand it. But with that, I think it's really important that we define what biblical revelation is. And again, I think this is important because the word revelation, I think, is used a little bit loosely in the church today. But biblical revelation is God revealing to man what man could not otherwise know. That's what biblical revelation is. It's God revealing to man what man could not otherwise know. Man could not know about heaven unless God reveal it to him. So a sign gift, again, is a divine enabling to authenticate new revelation from God. It's a supernatural ability to prove that what this message that is now being revealed, what is taking place right now, is indeed from God. The initiation of the church, the revelation of the church, the beginning of the church age was authenticated by signs in the form of these divine enablings from God. Now that being said, I do not believe that sign gifts are active or even necessary today. The church was initiated and authenticated 2,000 years ago. And today, the New Testament claims to be, and therefore is, the completed revelation of God for this age. There is no need to authenticate what has already been authenticated. But we're going to start with these gifts of authentication. And the first gift I want to look at is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. The sign gift of prophecy was to give man God's word so that he could record it in the Bible. There are actually two kinds of prophecy listed in the Bible. There is the, and we'll talk about this one, I'm going to mention later on so you don't have to write anything on it now, but there is the forth-telling prophecy, which is the proclaiming of God's word. It's just the repeating and proclaiming of what the Bible, what God has already said and had recorded. As you and I teach God's word or proclaim what the Bible says, that's a kind of prophesying. And there are some that are gifted in that area. We'll look at that. If you look at your categories, the second category on there also has prophesying. Okay, so there's two kinds, and we'll look at that, the one I just mentioned here, next week. But right now, I'm talking about the sign gift of prophecy. And this is the foretelling kind, the prediction of the future, or speaking of new revelation from God. That is the sign gift of prophecy. And it was exercised by the apostles. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21, the apostle Peter says, "So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The sign gift of prophecy was for the purpose of giving man God's recorded word, the Bible. And today we have it in completed form, and therefore no more need for authentication. The next gift of authentication is the gift of miracles. The gift of miracles. The sign gift of miracles is the supernatural ability to overrule nature. The sign gift of miracles, this is supernatural ability to overrule nature. As we walk our way through the whole of the Bible and history, every time God gave man new revelation, and only when God gave man new revelation, it was accompanied by miraculous works to authenticate that message. Moses did miracles just prior to the giving of the Ten Commandments and recording the books of the law. Elisha and Elijah did miracles and spoke of Israel's future. The apostles did miracles as the New Testament was given. And for the same reasons as above, I don't believe that this gift is exercised today. And don't get me wrong, I do believe that God works miracles today. I believe that. I know that for sure. I believe he even does them through people at times. I think God can and does do things that are way beyond nature often. I just don't believe that there are people enabled in performing miracles at will today like Moses and Elijah and Elisha did and the apostles. The sign gift of miracles enabled the user to heal sicknesses instantly, to make blind people see, to make the lame walk, to cast out demons, to survive poisonous snake bites. These are miracles, and in order to authenticate what God was saying and doing, he enabled certain people with this gift to accompany the message with these miracles. And that is exactly, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. That's why he did miracles, to authenticate his message. And in the early days of the church, there were believers who had this gift, the sign gift of miracles, the supernatural ability to overrule nature. And in connection with miracles is the sign gift of healing, the sign gift of healing. Again, I think these two gifts are very closely connected. But the sign gift of healing is the supernatural ability to heal a person of an ailment. Simple. The supernatural ability to heal a person of an ailment. Could be physical. It could be mental. Could be emotional. It could even be a spiritual ailment. As the gift of healing was exercised in the Bible, it was always successful. And I'm telling you that to separate what happened in the Bible from what some are claiming to do today with so-called faith healers. Listen to Acts chapter 28. You don't have to turn there again, but listen to Acts chapter 28, verses 8 and 9. And this is just one example of how it worked in the Bible. It says this, "And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed." All of them. Every single person that came was healed. And as the gift of healing was exercised in the Bible, it was always a success. So that's the gift of healing. And then next, I want to look at the sign gift of tongues. The sign gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is the supernatural ability to speak a language that was not learned. The gift of tongues is the supernatural ability to speak a language that was not learned. Here are a couple things that the Bible says about tongues. Just a couple sub-points here for this one. Tongues are actual human languages. Tongues are actual human languages. The word tongue or tongues is used about 103 times in the Old Testament. It's used about 54 times in the New Testament. And in each and every case, it is either speaking of the tongue as a physical organ or an intelligible language. That is how the word is used every single time in Scripture, an intelligible language. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read to you just the ones that talk about what we're talking about here, but it's we're going to read verses 4, 6, and 11. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, 6, and 11. Verse 4, and this is speaking of the apostles. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 6, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And then verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. This is the first occurrence in the Bible of men empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak in languages that they had not learned. And we see here that tongues were actual languages that people identified. So, tongues were actual human languages. Secondly, tongues were a means of publicly glorifying God. Tongues were a means of publicly glorifying God. Right back to verse 11 in Acts 2, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues. And listen to what they heard them speaking about, the wonderful works of God. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verses 44 through 46. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And I'll stop right there. Tongues were a means of glorifying God. And from this passage that I just read here in Acts 10, do you see any indication that this too was an actual intelligible language?
Yeah, they heard it and understood it.
They heard it and understood it. Whatever they said, these Gentiles said, Peter and the Jews understood what they were saying. In fact, I'm speculating, but I wonder if these Gentiles spoke Hebrew for the first time. Tongues was an intelligible language and a means to glorify God. Those were the only two sub-points I have there. That, by the way, is not taking place today with those that claim this gift. Here's the last sign gift. Interpretation. Interpretation. Interpretation of tongues specifically. And it is the supernatural ability to interpret a language they had never learned. God's word does command that if one speak in tongues publicly, they must have a person who can interpret so that everybody could benefit and glorify God too. Benefit from what's been spoken. And the sign gift of interpretation was designed to do that. The sign gift of interpretation is the supernatural ability to interpret a language that they had never learned. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 14, 27 and 28 says. It says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church.
What was that?
That was 1 Corinthians 14:27 and 28. Has anybody been to a service recently where people claim to speak in tongues? Okay. Yeah, and I've investigated one too, and I can tell you that it wasn't orderly. There wasn't an interpreter, and I'm not a language expert, but it didn't sound like a language to me. While these sign gifts have ceased, what does the word cease mean? What's that? To stop. Okay. If a battle comes to a ceasefire, it means that the firing is stopped, but doesn't mean that firing will never happen again. It doesn't. And that's really what we find here. Cease doesn't mean that they have ceased forever. It means they have ceased for now. And the ceasing of sign gifts, it's less of a doctrine and more of a very plain observation. It's less of a doctrine and more of a plain observation. While there is abundant and great teachings about sign gifts in Scripture, the diminishing and ceasing of them is very clearly observed in Scripture. And in church today, as one goes through the New Testament chronologically, one can very clearly observe that these sign gifts are mentioned less and less as time progresses. And I'll just state it. I don't know of, nor have I heard of, anyone who has or can exercise any of these sign gifts consistently at will and as successfully as those who had them in the early church. And as we've already mentioned, with God's revelation for this age complete, there is no need to authenticate what has already been authenticated. And I might add that even those who claim to have these sign gifts most often are exercising something that is completely foreign to Scripture and in direct contradiction oftentimes to how Scripture says to exercise them. And this goes for miracles and healings as well. However, when this age is over, I do believe that these gifts will become active again as God is going to reveal some new things. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And verses 3 through 6. Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 6. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimonies, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom, Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And I'll just tell you, they raise from the dead. There's some superpowers right there. There's some spiritual gifts. And I do believe that when this period of time comes, that many, if not all, of these sign gifts will return. Certainly to these two, but possibly to others as well. And that is where we will end tonight. But any thoughts, questions on these gifts of authentication? Richard.
Not being argumentative, but Paul didn't heal anybody. He was only the instrument of healing.
Yeah, that's right. It's a spiritual gift. It's God's power. But the point being, as God willed him to do those things, every time he exercised it, it was successful. Other thoughts? Jim?
When Bob Mason talks in tongues, I can usually interpret.
Well, that's, yeah, Bob might be the closest I've ever heard somebody to actually have that gift of tongues. Talking about you, Bob Mason, your East Texas accent. Other thoughts, Richard?
You want to talk about the first one of chapter 15 of Romans, 3rd Corinthians?
I can if you would like me to. We've got a couple minutes. We can. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. He says there, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So he's talking about basically love being a critical ingredient in the exercising of our gifts. And I will just say this, it's speaking of tongues of men and of angels. What language do angels speak?
Human language.
They do. Every time they spoke to humans, they spoke in human languages. So I think that is one answer to that question. I personally believe that he's talking about an eloquence. I think he's talking about teachers here. People that have the gift of teaching and can speak with eloquence. But not love. That's what I think he is. Messengers. In fact, pastors are oftentimes called angels in the scripture. Other thoughts? All right. Well, let's close our time in prayer. We're a little bit early. That's all right, though, right? Father, thank you for our time tonight. Thank you for your empowering of us, and I do want to thank you for these gifts of authentication. Lord, I thank you for this time in the history of the church where you empowered individuals to do these supernatural, miraculous healings and communication and interpretation and prophesying, because it's a result of the work you use them for, that we have what we have right now in our hands in the Bible. So thank you for that, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.